If you ever go to an art auction, you'll see an art auctioneer stands 6'2" with silver hair, silver hairs and tasseled shoes, and he will say, "I got $100 bid. Now somebody get $200 is bid. Now who would give $3?" If you go to a furniture auction, you'll see a furniture auctioneer with a room full of furniture and three-legged chairs. The smell of popcorn's in the air, and the auctioneer will say, "I get $20 is bid, and somebody get $25. $25 is bid. Now who give $30? $30 is bid, and somebody get $35." And if you go to a charity auction, you'll see an auctioneer in that tuxedo with a whole lot of energy. And they'll say, "I got $15,000 at the bid. Now somebody give $16. Now, yes, we got a $16,000 bid. Now somebody give $17." High energy and certainly a different style. And if you go to the auto auction, you'll see an auto auctioneer with a shirt buttoned down halfway down his chest and gold chains around his neck. Looks like a Mr. T starter kit. And he says, "I get $2,400 bid now, $4,500, who get $25, $2,500 bid now, $600 bid now, take it now, $27, $800 bid now, $9,000, $3,000 bid now, $31. And if you go to the livestock auction, you'll see a man with a pair of Levi's on and a belt buckle looks like a satellite dish. And he will say, "I get $41, take it now, $1, put it out of it now, have it out of it, $75,
This is the Fast Talking Podcast, taking your business to the next level by bringing together thought leaders from within and outside the auction industry. Now for your host, Andy Imholt.
Welcome to the Fast Talking Podcast. As you can tell by the intro, today is a very special episode. Jeff Stokes, the only person to have won the Triple Crown of Competitive Auctioneering, joins me for a wonderful conversation. Jeff is the 1987 World Champion Livestock Auctioneer. He is the 1993 World Champion Automobile Auctioneer, and he is the 2003 Men's Division International Auctioneer Champion. Ladies and gentlemen, today this entire episode is really off script. Jeff and I got to get together during the 2016 conference and show in Grand Rapids, Michigan for the NAA on the day of the International Auctioneer Championship, and we got to just talk. And I kind of threw out my normal questions for Chat with Champions because, you know, Jeff really has a heart and a passion for this industry, for helping people, and boy, is he just a thankful, genuine man. And I was so blessed to have the conversation with him. It was really eye-opening and a wonderful, wonderful thing. In fact, the intro that you heard is one of my very favorite things that I ever heard Jeff perform, was that intro leading into the IAC that he hosted out in San Diego back in, I believe it was like 2006 or 7. It was really amazing. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to get into this episode. It's going to be so great. But first, a word from our sponsors. Looking for an all-in-one solution to build your own online auction marketplace? Sharp Auction Engine has you covered. Their cloud-based private label platform makes it easy for you to create, run, manage, and brand all of your online auctions with no downloads, contracts, or setup fees. Their mobile-first platform allows your bidders to easily access your auctions from virtually any device. Their friendly staff are eager to help you get your self-branded auction experience up and running today. Get started at sharpauctionengine.com. So, if you've been a long-time listener of the podcast, you know the importance I place on a quality mobile-first web experience that includes pixel tracking and marketing insights. But imagine if you had an online bidding partner with those same goals. Stick around to the end of this episode to hear about BidWrangler, an amazing company who has built a simple, elegant user experience while still providing all the powerful features auctioneers need. Or pause this episode right now and check them out at BidWrangler.com. And now, ladies and gentlemen, my Chat with Champions with Jeff Stokes.
Jeff, welcome to the podcast. It's so great to have you on.
Oh, it's a great pleasure to be here.
Now, Jeff, before we get into this, you know, I would love to have you just kind of explain a little bit about yourself, a little bit about your history.
My name is Jeff Stokes. I am an auctioneer and passionate about the craft and love being an auctioneer and have been one for quite a while.
Mm-hmm.
I just became a grandpa just the last couple weeks.
Congratulations.
And with that being said, I began as a young man at the age of 15. I was sent to auction school by my father.
Okay.
And my father's an auctioneer. My brother was an auctioneer. My sister's an auctioneer. And my son, two of my sons have been to auction school.
Oh, wonderful.
So it's certainly in our family. And
that's great.
We all share that passion together.
Wow. Yeah, I love hearing that kind of thing. It's being somebody whose father was an auctioneer as well. I just love hearing that you kind of had that excitement coming.
Well, when I was a younger man, pre-15, I stuttered and stammered a lot, and I struggled with confidence and lack of.
Oh.
And I was a Navy brat, and we traveled all over. My dad would move ports every three, 4 years when the Navy shifted him, and I had a real fear of getting to meet people. And the auction, being introduced to the auction business at the age of 15, I think my dad had more reasons just to be an auctioneer. It was help this introvert be able to learn to express and communicate. And, boy, the gift of the auction business has been many, many things to me.
Wow. Well, and one of the reasons that I do this podcast selfishly is because I get to talk to these champions like yourself. Like, when I started the podcast, I was all about marketing and these things, these high-minded ideals, these things that I have passion for. But I've started to do these Chat with Champions, and it's been great to get to know them on a human level. These people who I see up on stage, who I'm intimidated to come talk to.
Oh,
but it's really great, and I appreciate you taking the time to share today. So thank you so very much for that.
It's truly my pleasure.
Let's get started. Now, I know that you aren't a huge fan of promoting all the awards that you've had the opportunity to compete and the blessing to accomplish. But you have had the opportunity and have won all three of the major titles. The only person so far to have done that. Now, there are other people shooting for it. They're trying to join you there.
I hope they do.
But it's an amazing experience to consider. And one of the questions that I like to ask really is, what was like a couple of, now you have three championships, so what were some incredible experiences you got to have as champion, whether it be for the IAC or for the livestock or for the cars, whatever it was, what were some experiences you had that just you look back and you're like, wow, I can't believe I got a chance to do that?
Oh, I can't specifically, let me think out loud, because I don't come to you with a specific answer about, there's many nuggets along the way. With the livestock journey, which was early in my career and life, and I was able to win that at the age of 26, and wow, that come much earlier than I had ever would have expected it. But the journey began that I had placed once in the Western region in my very first go.
Wow,
and,
that's great.
Right? And back when they had placements in the regions, and of course, it's evolved over the years. But after that first placement, then I kind of started getting a little confidence, and confidence and arrogance sometimes can get in the same way, and I kind of maybe struggled with that. And then after not doing very well for a couple years, I think the greatest lesson that I learned there was that I changed my position and the way and my attitude towards the auction contest, and it humbled me through that process. And
do you feel like that humbling was really informed who you became when you competed in the other contests?
Oh, yeah. I think winning the first one when it's least expected, and I hope we can all agree that when we win these contests, it's not when you or I are ready. And it comes when the good Lord chooses to bless us with it, or the judges bless us with it, or better yet, the industry blesses us with it. Mm-hmm. So I really got to learn. I think that was the best experience out of the livestock gift, and I also think the livestock pursuit was all about the big call and the chant and the rhythm and the heavy steady beat.
It's driven so much within that the who they select, that is such a huge
the
part
call.
Of it. Yeah, the call is so important.
And so from being a kid that stuttered, that was that was everything for me.
Wow, what affirmation.
Not only to learn how to say the words clearly, but saying them to the rhythm of the auctioneer is what really helped me. And I think that lack of self-esteem and earlier in their lives really helped me embrace this, because it was something I can get a hold of. And and it taught me that my stammering or stuttering was really a cause from lack of confidence. It was a mental thing, not a physical thing. Boy, the tongue twisters and the gift of that is made me realize it was all about my self-confidence. And
wonderful.
Yeah, it's just
wonderful.
Well,
that's really
stuff.
Great when you're able to figure that type of thing out and find that niche. I mean, that had to be empowering. It had to be empowering for you.
Oh, yeah, and that's why I say, I guess it's what I want to say is it's much more than a contest. It's a journey, and life is a journey. Mm-hmm. And when you directly relate it to these said contests, there's so many more nuggets that of gifts of life that come to these things that are much better than the trophy itself.
So in 1987, you won the livestock, and we just discussed that. In 1993, you won the automobile, the World Automobile Auction Championship. And that must have been pretty – so now you got humbled. But then you were – then once again built back up. But you were – it sounds like you were different this time than when you won the livestock. Like maybe you approached the championship a little differently.
Well, I think – yes, absolutely right. You know, the livestock's focus on the bid call and the chant.
Yeah.
And staying composed in a real quick, fast rhythm. Mm-hmm. And, of course, when you move to the auto – you're selling used cars to used car dealers.
Yeah.
And it's more, certainly there's a change of pattern in the way that our rhythm comes to us, as well as our focus and our emphasis and the way we're selling something.
Oh, salesmanship. And, you know, I've talked with some people recently that have talked really about how recent champions have really talked about, boy, it's how you work with the dealers and how you communicate beyond just the chant in that moment, because you're selling real things to real people.
If we compare the fact that when you're selling livestock, you're certainly selling.
Yes,
each one is selling, but at different levels, it takes a large amount of respect to try to tell a cow buyer why that cow's worth another 50 cents a pound is probably – that's why we use the power of momentum. Now,
sure.
If you compare it to selling autos at auction, we're selling used cars to used car dealers.
Yeah.
And boy, who am I to tell that Cadillac dealer why that Cadillac is worth more money? He knows his product better than you, me, or I.
Mm-hmm,
and with all that being said, I think that the way you sell that product is different. The intensity is different.
Uh-huh.
But it's really our auction craft and our many different calls is really a smorgasbord of different talents and attributes. And I think that I have always gotten and still today get a zest out of the change of each one. And because the answer always lies in the bidder's mind.
Sure.
You know, they're either yes, they're going to bid, no, they're not, or they might. And when it's maybe, how do we turn that maybe into a yes? And how do we get there? So I think the auto auction has its own set of challenges. And it's always challenging for me to sell autos at auction. And I enjoy that as well. And I still do that. Three days a week.
Wow. Well, the final leg, as they say, was the IAC, and that was in 2003.
Correct.
That you were able to accomplish that. And how would you describe this contest, the IAC contest, being different from the other two?
Oh, goodness. I think it is. It's in the last 2-3 days here at conference, we have the word family has come out of everybody's mouth.
You got it.
Absolutely. Over again. And I believe that those words are sincere words, and it's true. And I missed the last couple of conferences, so to be here, everybody was most welcoming, my old friends and even your father.
Yeah.
And, you know, your dad and I was friends, so generations, start coming through. And as my boys grow and they start coming, it's really a wonderful thing to see. I think the IAC was again, a different journey for me. I was really passionate on the livestock. I was fairly passionate on the auto. And with the IAC, I really took it differently.
Okay.
I would come every 2 or 3 years.
Okay.
I was really the understanding of if it was meant to be that some other power would bring that to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's – It too was a wonderful journey. I can remember back in 2001, the conference was in Boise, Idaho.
Okay.
And that was a wonderful event. And I can remember because it's kind of close to my home, in the Northwest. And with that, a lot of friends and neighbors were there that we knew. Mm-hmm. And I worked at the Idaho Auto Auction. So, there's harmony of all friends and neighbors that I knew so well. And in 2001, I can remember the bid calling part. I can remember the room being really full. and full of friends and energy, just like it'll be tonight, but just chock full.
But like very personal to you, it sounds like.
Very personal to me. And I can remember vividly that the guy in the third row, a friend of mine, bidding way too much on a socket set. He still ribs me about paying three times value. But it was the kind of energy that, that we see here. It's people want to help you, and they really show it at that moment and bidding to you. And I remember coming off the block. I remember the feeling I had. I really felt like I had done really as well as I had ever done in any competition. And what a gift, because I ended up as the runner-up.
Okay.
And being second place is really cool because you got to, you know, it ain't over and you get to come back and we can always improve. And that was the case here. And if I may go on, the next year would have been Florida and that would have been in 2002. And I remember going to Florida and my family and my children came and my wife and family and we all go down there. And when you're in the runner-up pole, there's always expectations.
They've got him tonight. I know that last year's runner-up, I've already talked to him today, and he's like, you can tell that he knows the eyes are on him.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's a tough place to be.
It is.
And how do we manage that in our mind? Mm-hmm. And I think that's the key to every contestant. How do you manage yourself to get to that best place and shake off those nerves and so on? Anyway, went to Florida on that particular year, and I can remember being in the room, sitting next to an auctioneer buddy, and we're drawing names, and he and I are at the bottom of the alphabet, and we're walking down the line, and number one had not been drawn yet. And this friend of mine says, "Oh, you're going to draw number one." I said, "Ah, that ain't going to happen. No, we don't you jinx me." Well, sure enough,
number one,
it was. And as soon as the draw was over that early morning, off we go, and it's time to start.
Yeah.
Of course, that was East Coast time, and I can remember trying to get comfortable. It was 8:30 start, and that's 5:30 Pacific, and blah, blah.
Yeah.
Getting up there, and the room isn't quite full yet, and boy, those poor guys that go first, you know, it's a tougher go.
It is a tougher go.
But it was a great learning experience, and allow me to continue, because I think it's experience for all of us to learn from. Anyway, I did not make the finals that year, and I can remember it was time for us to. They were going to post the scores at 3:30 in the afternoon. I was up in my room at about 3:15. An auctioneer friend says, "Hey Jeff, where are you?" And I says, "I'm up in my room and I'm heading on down." He goes, "Well, they posted the scores." I says, "Oh great, I'm coming on down." And he says to me, "Well, Jeff, you need to know something." I said, "What's that?" He goes, "You didn't make the finals." I said, "Oh great, I'll be right on down. Thank you." And I hung up the phone and I told my family, and of course they were disappointed.
Sure.
We all were, right? And that was a real neat moment for me, because I could reflect over the last journeys of the other two competitions and this one as well, and I've been blessed with a second place, and I've been blessed with not being in the hunt or being in the finals.
Sure.
So I've been on both sides.
Yeah.
And I'm no better than anybody else.
Speaking as a father myself, it was a moment to model to your children how to be gracious in defeat, I imagine.
Let me finish the story.
Sorry. I didn't mean to step on your touchdown. That sounds...
No. Let me give it to you, because I just love this story. And so it was a moment.
Yes.
And I said, no, kids, you know, someone's got to be first and someone's going to get last. That's the way the coin flips, and that's the way she fell. And I've had my gifts of being late, and boy, now I have one early. So, and sure, I didn't make the finals, but no excuses. You know, they picked the best 15, and I just wasn't one of them today.
Okay.
And I walked downstairs, and of course, everybody wanted to console me and say, Jeff, you know, that being first is not fun, and that's not fair, and we got to figure out a way. I said, and each one of them, because I processed it as I went down the elevator after telling my kids, I had to believe what I told my kids, right?
Yeah.
And it was true, and it's where I had grown over the many contests, is that it's just part of the deal, and you roll with it. So anyway, and I probably met 10 or 15 people, and it was a good experience for me, and I was able to sit and watch and stay positive throughout the process. So later that night, I go back to my room, and my children are there. My youngest son was 7 at the time, and he had taken a piece of or an index card or a piece of paper, and he had filled out a ballot as a judge's ballot.
Yeah.
And the judge's ballot had a stick man auctioneer behind the podium, as an auctioneer would be, a picture in his best drawing, and then he had scored me, and my son had given me 100 points.
Oh,
are you kidding?
Oh man, that is
And of
that is
all,
beautiful, man. That is so beautiful.
Exactly. And it put it all into perspective for me. And I forgive my emotion. It is so near to my heart, and it's such a great gift. And that's why I'm happy to share it over and over again.
That's a great story.
Isn't it wonderful? Wow. And it was a great learning experience for me. And my gosh, if you can get 100 points in the eyes of your children,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. You're the champion.
You did. Absolutely won that.
You absolutely did.
And with that being said, that if you ask me what was the best experience I ever learned, that was it.
Wow.
And when that happened and I won my child's approval, which we always get that, want that, but
oh, sure. Yeah.
There's no no greater gift
in
that particular venue. That the next year I went to San Antonio, which was 2003. The family didn't go this time for whatever reason. It leaves my memory. But again, it comes when the good Lord's ready to bless us with it, and He did. He gifted me that
awesome.
The win in 2003 in San Antonio, and I love that story. And thanks for allowing me to share it.
That's gosh, I don't even know what else to talk about on this podcast. I am like about, I'm almost a puddle on the floor here. That's a powerful story. Thank you, Jeff, for sharing. I feel uncomfortable sharing that.
It's the best one.
Wow. So we got to get back down to business because that was good. That was good. And because we're sharing stories, I have to share one for you. I believe it was in San Diego a couple years after you had won. You were on the committee. You must have been one of the chairs of the committee.
I believe I was.
And the intro for the evening's event,
you
did... And I mean, folks, if you weren't there, you missed it. Jeff did the most amazing ode to the entire auction profession. You were doing different chant styles to the different, but you were doing the cattle from the cattle auctioneer, and you did a little bit of that to the auto auctioneer, to the box lots, to all of it. It was incredible.
Well, that I all I wanted to do was validate what the IEC is, and it is a pool of oral auctioneers that come together for a common passion of love of the auction business. Our association is built up of art auctioneers, charity auctioneers. We run the gamut of many.
Yes.
And the thing about the IEC is we have each walk, and imagine the judge, if he's a livestock auctioneer, will lean towards a faster chant.
Sure.
And if that judge is a art auctioneer, he or she will probably lean to the slower chant.
Yeah, but more
that
clarity
is,
possibly, or something like that. Yeah.
And that's what we must recognize. Mm-hmm. And that's why when we go to the contest, that the gift of a win will come when the stars align or all seven judges align.
Okay.
In the same thought, but we have a right to our own opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And isn't it true that our success is judged by either our seller, the owner of the product, or better yet, or not better yet, but equally so, the buyer and our guest within the room, and how we communicate with him. But what I tried to do at that particular day was validate that each one is good and okay, but different.
Mm-hmm.
And if you ever go to an art auction, you'll see an art auctioneer stand 6'2" with silver hairs and tasseled shoes, and he will say, "I got $100 bid, now somebody get two. $200 is bid, now who would give three?" If you go to a furniture auction, you'll see a furniture auctioneer with a room full of furniture and three-legged chairs, the smell of popcorns in the air, and the auctioneer will say, "I get 20 is bid, and somebody get 25. 25 is bid, now who give 30? 30 is bid, and somebody get 35. And if you go to a charity auction, you'll see an auctioneer in that tuxedo with a whole lot of energy, and they'll say, "I got $15,000 at the bid, now somebody get 16 now. Yes, we got a $16,000 bid, now somebody get 17. High energy and certainly a different style. And if you go to the auto auction, you'll see an auto auctioneer with a shirt button down halfway down his chest and gold chains around his neck. Looks like a Mr. T starter kit. And he says, "I get $2,400 bid now, 4,500. Who get 25? $2,500 bid now, $600 bid now, thinking now, $2,700 bid now, $9,900 bid, $3,000 bid now, 31. And if you go to the livestock auction, you'll see a man with a pair of Levi's on and a belt buckle looks like a satellite dish. And he will say, "I get 31, I think now, 1, I've been down, 4, I've been down, 5, I've been down, 70, 5, I've been down, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 3, 3, 3, 4, I've been down, 5, I've been down, 70, 5, I've been down, that sort of thing. With that being said, all five of those styles and chants are different, and I think that we need to celebrate each one. I think each one works best in its own environment, and we auctioneers need to not only create environment, but we also need to be very conscious of the supply and demand equation and the atmosphere that we're trying to create. And I think that each one of those chants are very different and unique in their speed, rhythm, emphasis, and style, but they are very appropriate for that product we're selling in that marketplace that we set in. And we should adjust to that moment in time.
Excellent. Excellent. That was a treat that I did not expect to receive today. Thank you. you've talked a lot about preparing for each contest and kind of your whole process through. But I would imagine that many young competitors who are in the game right now come to you and ask, what tips would you give to them in their moment getting ready to go on stage? What would you tell somebody who's asking for some tips at this time?
Wow. Tips is plural. Tips is plural. Happy, a smile.
Sure.
Is not overdone. And not only do we need, I think, to smile, but a smile puts us in our best place to be our best self. And I think that being our best self in that key moment is easily said. And as a competitor, it's hard to do when the nerves are, you know, strong and you're in the hunt and the energy's high and you want to succeed and the fear of failure upon you. But getting in that place where you can be at your best self, I think, is one of the most important things. If I was going to say one other, to stay with the plural question, would be that the way I learned to, after these many contests, was that I just mentioned spirit of heart, but now the spirit of my attitude is also important. So heart and mind are the two biggest things I think you can take into these competitions, because everybody can bid call well. By the time you get to these...
Yeah. Especially the finals.
Right.
Yeah.
Everybody can do that, and everybody's got their tools in their tool bag. How do you get to your best self? And the way that I arrive there, and I tell everybody if they choose to ask, is that if you go in to win a contest, like today, with 92 competitors, you've got a 1 in 92 chance of winning, which means if your goal is the big trophy, your percentages are somewhere around less than 5% or so.
Correct.
If we go into the competition to learn and grow as people and as auctioneers, our goals of winning are pretty good.
Yeah.
So if we go to learn, we can win every single time.
Awesome.
So that became my attitude and spirit. And it was also a way to let me off the hook. Because sure, I wanted to win, and to say that.
Of course
I want to win. But winning came secondary to just do my best self and having fun and creating that spirit of heart. And it was okay if I didn't win. So why don't I go to learn and have fun? If I did that, it was easier for me.
Yeah.
And that's how I excelled. And if we all go to learn, we're all going to win.
Well, Jeff, before we close, is there anything else you'd like to add?
Well, we talked about three wonderful journeys. We've talked about three wonderful gifts. And putting it all into perspective, I think, is important. And if I was – I have got three wonderful gifts in my life.
Yeah.
And those best three gifts are not those three trophies we talked about.
Mm-hmm.
It's my three children.
Wonderful.
And if we come to these auction contests realizing that the greatest gift in life is – our children, our family, and our gift of friends. And that room full of friends in here is all supporting every one of those contestants. And we put our goals and life gifts in perspective.
Yeah.
Auctions certainly play second fiddle to friends and family and the other great blessings of life. And I want to thank you for the blessing you're giving all of us by this wonderful forum. This podcast is just really wonderful. On behalf of all the auctioneers in this country, we really do thank you for what
awesome.
It is you're doing here, and you do it with great passion. So, thank
Jeff,
you.
That means a lot coming from you. I really appreciate it. After this whole conversation, I really appreciate it. Thank you so very much for your time. If anyone who's listening today wants to reach out and ask you any more questions or any more tips, although I don't know what else they could ask, I think you made it very clear, how might they get a hold of you?
My email is jeff@stokesauctiongroup.com.
Perfect.
and I reside in the Port Orchard, Washington area in the Great Northwest, and I'm a fan of the auction business, and I promise that I'll see all of you at these contests and conventions to follow, and yeah, feel free to contact me. Email me anytime. I'd be happy to, because that is the best and last gift of a journey like mine, and that is to help others. And I'm gifted with the opportunity to teach auction school at Western College of Auctioneering, and I've done it for 30 years now plus. Wow. And I love it, and I love to help the young folks, because to see the spirit and passion is great. So
that's great. Yeah. Jeff, thank you so very much for your time. I really do appreciate it.
Thank you, Andy.
You know, it's not often, folks, that I am without words when it comes to an interview, but that one was incredible. Jeff, please, I hope that you're listening to this again. I just want to say thank you. Your thankful heart is apparent and evident, and in this season of thankfulness with Thanksgiving coming and the holidays coming, it is very clear that you are so appreciative of this industry, and I just can't thank you enough for being on the podcast. It was incredible. Well, ladies and gentlemen, got to keep the lights on, so now a word from our sponsors.
Looking for an all-in-one solution to build your own online auction marketplace? Sharp Auction Engine has you covered. Their cloud-based private label platform makes it easy for you to create, run, manage, and brand all of your online auctions. There is no need to download any software or sign any contracts, because their mobile-first platform allows your bidders to easily access your auctions from virtually any device, making it easy for bidders to engage anytime, anywhere. Setup is completely free, provided by a friendly staff who are eager to help you get your self-branded auction house up and running today. Starting at just $180 a month, Sharp Auction Engine is the smart, affordable solution to take your auction business online. Get started today at sharpauctionengine.com.
This episode is sponsored by BidWrangler. Online auctions are more important and engaging than ever. With a technology partner like BidWrangler, your company will have access to the powerful features you need to set your company apart. Building a platform with real bidders in mind, they focus their attention on the mobile bidding experience, striving to eliminate any fractions of a delay. Your bidders will thank you, but more importantly, when no bids are missed, your sellers will thank you. It's an exciting time to be an auction professional. Isn't it time to partner with a technology company who's building technology for the next 5 years, not the last 10? Check them out at BidWrangler.com. As always, I welcome feedback and suggestions for the show. The show is built for you, the Fast Talking Nation, and if you have a great guest or topic you think could be a good fit, reach out to me online at fasttalkingpodcast.com, on Twitter at auctionpodcast, on Facebook at facebook.com/fasttalkingpodcast, or email me andy@fasttalkingpodcast.com. I always look forward to hearing from listeners. With that, I want to thank you for gifting me with your time. As always, be sure to like, favorite, and share this podcast in whichever venue you choose to listen. I enjoy creating this podcast for you and strive to share this industry I love with more and more people each week. Have a great week, and I'll talk to you soon.